Philip Weaver lives here in Bonners Ferry, and he's a pilot and an aircraft mechanic at the local airport. He has decided to combine his airplane-related skills and knowledge with his passion for Jesus and to become a missionary. Christian missionaries have long played a vital role in spreading the gospel and demonstrating Christ's love through service, teaching, and outreach. Rooted in the Great Commission, as described in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Philip feels the calling to go and make disciples of all nations. Missionaries travel across cultures and borders to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Their efforts are multifaceted, including evangelism, church planting, education, healthcare, disaster relief, and development work. The primary motive behind Christian missions is not just humanitarian, though acts of compassion are central, but instead it's spiritual, to bring people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ and to disciple them in the Christian faith. Missionaries often serve in remote, impoverished, or unreached regions, partnering with local churches and communities to meet physical and spiritual needs. Their work reflects the heart of Christ, who ministered to the marginalized and called his followers to do the same. Missions may look different depending on the context. Some focus on Bible translation, others on medical outreach, education, or agricultural training. But the unifying goal is to glorify God and make his love known. A powerful example of missionary support is Missionary Flights International. This is a United States-based Christian aviation ministry that serves as a lifeline to missionaries throughout the Caribbean, particularly in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. It's Philip's plan to join MFI as a pilot and mechanic. Founded in 1964, MFI operates out of Fort Pierce, Florida, and it flies small cargo and passenger planes loaded with supplies, equipment, and personnel to missionary outposts and mission organizations. MFI's mission is to provide dependable transportation and logistical services. Their work is a critical support system, allowing missionaries in difficult or isolated areas to receive needed tools for ministry. This can range from food and medicine to Bibles, building materials, and even emergency evacuations. Every week, MFI schedules flights to locations in the Caribbean, carrying not only goods, but also hope. These flights enable missionaries to stay connected with their supporters, travel for rest or medical care, and continue their ministries without interruption. During crises like natural disasters or political unrest, MFI is often one of the first to respond with relief, supplies, and evacuations. Philip wants to join MFI as a pilot and mechanic. But because it is a volunteer organization, MFI is funded largely through donations and services, and it serves over 450 Christian mission organizations. In essence, Christian missionaries go where they are called to share the gospel and serve. Organizations like Missionary Flights International make that calling sustainable by offering the practical support needed to keep the mission moving forward. Together, they form a network of faith and service that brings light to places often overlooked or forgotten. Today, Philip joins me to discuss his hopes and dreams and needs as he prepares to become a pilot and mechanic for this Christ-centered organization. Hi, everybody. My name's Ted Ludlam, and this is Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And if you found this by mistake, this is your lucky day. And if you found it because you wanted to hear it and you listen to me on a regular basis, bless your pea-picking heart. That's really nice of you guys to do that. And this is going to be my 70th episode, and I have a guest here, Philip Weaver. Say hi, Philip.
Hi.
That's good. Philip is a little nervous. He's never done anything with microphones before. We're up here in North Idaho, about 30 miles from the Canadian border, and The weather is good for flying right now.
It is. It's very nice.
I bring that up because Philip is a certified pilot and a mechanic.
That's right.
And we have a nice little airport up here in Bonners Ferry. Do our airport have a name?
Yes, it's on the maps. It's called Boundary County Airport.
Oh, that's pretty fancy.
Yeah, very
Okay,
creative.
very creative. Boundary County Airport, international airport? No, it's not an international airport, but it's a very active and busy airport.
That's right.
And Philip is a mechanic. And how long have you had your airplane pilot's license, Philip?
So I got my private pilot's license in 2019.
Okay. And then you became a certified mechanic?
Yes, in 2023.
That makes sense. Okay. And you are 27.
That's right.
So you kind of started pretty young age.
You
Pretty
could
good.
say, yeah.
Yeah. Now, a little bit of biography on Philip. Philip is a graduate, or he went to Trout Creek, Montana, and he went to a private Christian school.
You could say, yep.
Yes. And then you moved here when?
In the end of December of 2020, I started
Okay.
working at the airport January 1 of 2021.
Okay. And this is where did you get your pilot license here?
I did actually
Yes.
in 2000.
Because we have quite the pilot license school here.
We have a very good flight school here.
Yes, there's a lot of people that take that. And in fact, about once a month, they have my favorite thing, a pancake breakfast where funds are raised to help fund that school. Is that correct?
That's right. Young
Yeah.
people can apply for scholarship to help with their flight training there.
Did you go through that program?
Yes, I actually did get a scholarship to help with my mechanic training.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of people in this community, this place is packed. The airport gets packed for the all-you-can-eat breakfast for a donation, usually around 10 bucks. You don't have to pay that, though. You could pay 5 or 8 or whatever. And there's a lot of people in the hangar. It's served in the hangar, and the door is wide open. And if it's a cool morning, kind of chilly. And a lot of airplanes from all over northern Idaho and Washington and Oregon fly in and land, and we can go out on the runways and check out all the airplanes. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I think this past month, the pancake breakfast, we'd probably had 50 or 60 airplanes there.
I know. I think there was a helicopter.
Yes, two of them actually showed up.
And you could take rides on them.
Not that
No.
one.
Oh,
No.
somebody was asking me if I wanted to get a ride on a helicopter, and I said no.
The one helicopter that showed up was a rescue helicopter. So
Oh.
I suppose if you got lost in the mountains, you could get a ride.
Now,
But
can you work on helicopters?
I can, yes.
Oh my gosh. See, you got talent, you got skills. Now, how many you had mentioned, what is it you do with a wrench? You spin it?
Yeah, turning wrenches. It's kind
Yeah.
of the term for being a
Yeah,
mechanic.
like a propeller.
Right.
So you're involved with that and you're busy with that. And I would imagine you probably don't use very many rubber bands.
No.
No, that's
No.
probably a good thing. No,
Yeah.
I
We did
don't.
use a few zip ties, though, just to be clear.
Oh, just keep things up and
To keep
going.
things held together. Yep.
Yeah, oh, I'm flying now for sure. Do you have any interest in doing like big passenger airliners?
I think it would be fun for the challenge,
Yeah.
but as far as long term, no.
No, you like what you're doing.
I love what I'm doing.
Yeah, and you didn't think you would.
Right. I wasn't, when I got into aviation mechanic work, I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out.
You always wanted to fly,
Yes.
but you didn't think about fixing the planes until later. Is
That's
that
right.
right? That's right. So that makes sense. What motivated you to become a mechanic?
Ultimately, what motivated me for that? I wanted to become a missionary pilot and fly to hard to reach places at the ends of the earth. And to do that, a lot of places require you to have your mechanic license.
Now we're getting to the reason you're here.
That's
Yes, we're not just grabbing some mechanic off the street. You want to, or you are a missionary.
correct.
Yes, and for Jesus's word,
Yes.
for the spread of the good news. Now, you have done a little bit of missionary work already. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, last summer I spent about 6 weeks in northwestern Ontario
Okay.
with a group, just helping out as a volunteer missionary. They have an airplane there, so I helped with that.
That gets your foot in the door a lot.
It gets my foot in the door, gets me some really good experience in the
Yes.
field.
So you can fix them or fly them.
That's right.
And you'll be the pilot. You'd fly them in and out and get them supplies and all that, all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
How long were you there in Ontario?
About 6 weeks.
And was this in the summer?
Yep, in the summertime.
Okay. What was the one thing about summer in Northwest Ontario that you did not like?
Oh man. It's Northwest Ontario is actually really beautiful, contrary
Okay.
to what people might think. There are a lot of mosquitoes.
That's what I was
That's
humming at.
what you were grabbing at now, right?
So did you have dog fights with the mosquitoes?
Not quite,
No.
but it was close
That's
enough.
close.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were flying holding patterns around you with if they got too thick.
Okay. So now you are a missionary, but before obviously you become a missionary, you became a Christian.
That's right.
What was your big turning point where you became a Christian?
I would say when I was 16 years old, I went to a boys camp, 2 week boys camp, where we spent 5 days in the mountains backpacking. We spent a few days on a canoe trip, did all kinds of really cool outdoor things. There was about eight of us boys and then two counselors that stayed with the group and got to know the counselors pretty well. And through that, he encouraged me. And really, I would credit him with bringing me to the Lord,
And
bringing
what was
me.
his name?
His name was Lester.
Okay, does he live here in this area?
Yes, he does.
Okay. So now I was in Boy Scouts and I did a lot of camping and hiking and canoeing down in the Ozarks of southern Missouri, northern Arkansas. I grew up in southeast Kansas, probably not too dissimilar, but we didn't have mountains, but we had, they call them mountains, the Ozarks, but they're not really mountains. They're like tall hills. It's beautiful. It's very nice. You were canoeing and hiking. Was this a church camp?
Yes, this is a church sponsored camp.
Okay, but you were interested in the Lord, but not quite there yet, but you just liked camping with the guys.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
What was this? What did you just suddenly 2 o'clock in the morning look up at the stars and go, oh man? Or was it more transitional?
I'd say it was the Holy Spirit's conviction, really. I just realized that it was time to give my life to the Lord. And I felt that God was calling, and I wasn't going to say no.
Okay. And so after that, your life changed.
Yes and no. It didn't look a lot different, I would say. I was
Okay.
raised in a Christian home. I've been taught Christian values and principles my whole life. I wasn't a bad kid.
No.
I wasn't out doing all the bad things. But I would say I did change. I had a temper, a pretty good temper before that. I calmed down on that a lot, I'd say, thanks to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and then since then, it's just been a growing experience, walking with the Lord.
I found the Lord back in the early 80s and well, early 90s. And it was not as transitional. It's kind of like you, not as transitional. But I still struggle with a bad temper, believe it or not. I play tennis and I get a little, yeah.
That'll do it.
Something will trigger me or whatever. People will tell you that know me. But anyway, so you now have a new dream.
Yes.
And what is that?
To be a missionary pilot and take the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Okay, and you have a specific goal in mind that you're working on at this time. And what is that?
That is moving to Florida and working with an outfit called Missionary Flights International.
And what do they do?
So they provide a logistics service to missionaries working in Haiti and Bahamas and Dominican Republic.
Okay, and so your goal, your dream now is to go down there and be a pilot
Yep.
and
A
a
mechanic.
mechanic.
Yep.
They have more than one plane involved in this.
Yes, they have a total of four.
Okay. So your services are pretty valuable.
Yes.
Now, how did you hear about this particular outfit down in Florida?
So that was a God thing, really. Last summer, like I'd mentioned, I was in Northwest Ontario serving with a group up there. And the pilot that was there for the summer flying their airplane, he is a member of the board of this missionary flights place. And he recommended them to me after he heard what I was interested in and what I wanted to do.
Okay, so have you been down there?
Yes, I've been down there twice now.
Okay, just checking it out, scouting it out, or?
Oh, first time was just checking it out. Second time was an actual evaluation interview.
You're evaluating them and they are evaluating you? Two-way deal. Okay. And you left Florida and flew. Did you, as a passenger, or was you a pilot? You flew.
I just rode along as a passenger, a helping passenger.
Okay. To where?
We went to Haiti that day.
Okay. Tell me about that.
That was very interesting. So obviously you land in a city called Cap Haitien. That airport was very busy because the other main airport, Port-au-Prince, is still closed off to flights from the US because of gang activity.
Very active.
Yes.
Okay.
Cap Haitien, it felt relatively safe. There was not too much suspicious activity going on. We unloaded a bunch of cargo, did our thing there. Then we went to another airstrip, I guess more north central Haiti, and that was a bit more intense. We landed, I guess the conversation in the cockpit as we landed and taxied over to the little building was, it looks like the locals are here. We don't see anybody with guns or anybody that looks dangerous. Okay, leave the engines running. We'll open the doors, unload our things, load up the people we're supposed to take out, and we're going to leave right away.
Boom.
Boom. We
That's
spent
it.
maybe 10 minutes on the ground.
Okay, but you did stop.
We did stop. The
It
engines kept turning,
was
though.
not a rolling stop. It was
No.
okay. What kind of supplies or mission specifically do you guys get involved in? What do you bring in and take out and all that?
Pretty much anything you can imagine. Anything from live goats to,
Live goats.
yes, vehicle parts, household goods, really anything a missionary might need.
Okay, so you'd have live goats on your plane.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and then you unload them
Yep, in
and
Haiti. And
clean up after them.
that's right.
Any medical supplies or food, and then you've got people who are, what's the word, shuttle service in and out and so on.
Yep. Transporting people, missionaries, work groups,
Okay.
do that as well.
Now, you did this at this little excursion. And this reinforced that this is what you want to do.
Correct.
Yeah. What makes it so exciting to you? What makes it, yeah, I want to do this.
I would say it's my passion for aviation. I love flying, I love airplanes, but then to get to combine that with the Great Commission, I think that's just the most awesome thing ever.
And what's the Great Commission?
That is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation.
Have you done that?
I'm working on it.
You're working on it. That's fair and honest answer, because it's hard.
It's very
That's
difficult.
scary. It's hard to share the word.
It is.
You don't know how somebody's going to react. You don't know if they're going to ask a question that you don't know the answer to. You just pray to Jesus for guidance and trust in him. And that's hard to do. Yeah.
That's right.
I applaud you. I think that's fantastic that you're doing this. I'm 71 years old, and it's like, yeah, it's hard. So what's your timeline here that you hope to be able to leave Bonner's Ferry? And is there a specific town there in Florida?
Yes, the town I'll be moving to is called Fort Pierce.
Okay.
It's on the east coast of Florida,
Okay.
about 2.5 hours south of Orlando.
On Atlanta. I mean, on the Atlantic.
That's right.
Okay.
Time frame, I'm hoping to be out of Bonner's Ferry here in the next 2 or 3 months, if possible.
Okay. And what's the, if possible, what's that?
That is if I can raise the support, the financial support I need to live down there and work full time as a volunteer missionary.
Okay, so you need to support yourself
That's right.
with the help of others.
That's
It's a
right.
team effort.
Yes, it's partnering with people, and that allows me to really be their hands and feet in fulfilling the Great Commission.
Are you a, I don't know how to phrase this. You go to my church.
I do.
I met you at my church anyway. I don't know if you go to my church on a regular basis.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And I met you there. So we're a non-denominational Christian church. It's called Limitless. And you grew up, though, with some Mennonite roots.
Yes, my family actually. All my immediate family is still Mennonite.
Okay. But you made this transition or change or whatever, for whatever reason, it's all good for the Lord. So you're working or you're going to our church now and non-denominational, and you're comfortable with that at
Yeah.
this time. Yeah.
So
Okay.
far, I've enjoyed it.
So you're not like a Catholic or you're not the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the Hindus or whatever. That's what you, this is what you're, this is where you're at.
This is where I feel God has led me.
I think this is important if because we're asking if you, the listener, are motivated to help Philip, then Philip would be very happy to be in contact with you, and you could provide whatever support possibly for Philip to get him to Florida. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And not only financial support, traveling to Haiti on a regular basis, I need prayer support.
Prayer support.
That's just as important as finances.
Yes. Have you, do you feel, is it hard to trust the Lord in something as ambitious as this? Or do you just, it's all the way okay?
It's very difficult. It's been one of the most faith-building exercises I've ever been in.
And it's very exciting, but it's very humbling too.
Yes, all of that.
What's your family think of this?
They're in support of it. They're very excited to see me go this direction and go after this as ambitiously as I am.
Are they still on Trout Creek, Montana?
Most of them are still there, yes.
Yeah.
I have one sister that lives in Virginia, but other than that, they're all in Montana, actually.
It's funny, I was telling you, Joy and I went on a ride yesterday, a drive yesterday. We don't do this very often, but yesterday we went on a drive. We went down to Sandpoint, which is about 30 miles south of here. And then we shot over to the east on Highway 202,
200.
200. Yeah, there you go. That tells you everything you need to know about me. But yeah, 200. And we made it almost to Trout Creek without realizing it. And then we said, this is just, it's such a beautiful drive through there. Absolutely. And then we turned around and came back and we had a supper at a biker bar in Clark Fork. You probably know the bar. You probably, I
I've
don't
been through that whole town, I don't know how many
know.
times.
Yeah, it's right there. And it was okay. And so it's just a coincidence, you know, where I met you and I was almost in your hometown of what? How many people's is Trout Creek?
I'm going to guess around 1,500 to 2,000
It's
somewhere.
not bad.
It's got two gas stations and a bar or two and a post office, and that's about
Sounds like it'd be had more than that. There's no Walmart, no Costco, and
I
they don't have their own
guess.
airport.
Nope.
No.
Not even an airport.
Now, you're not far from Thompson Falls.
Thompson Falls does have a small airport, but
Okay.
there's no what they call an FBO or a fixed base operator there. There's just a bunch of hangars and people with their own airplanes, and that's
Okay.
it.
Now, when you were in Ontario, what kind of facilities did they have there for your airport or whatever?
There's a very nice big airport there in Ontario where that mission is based out of.
Now, there was something, you're talking about a grass runway somewhere.
Oh, that was the runway in Haiti.
Oh.
So the dangerous runway in Haiti where we didn't shut down the engines, that was a grass runway.
With no potholes.
Not many.
Not that you,
There
nothing that was too
was
bad.
a few weeds that were pretty tall.
Now,
The
what kind of plane was that?
one in Haiti?
Yeah.
That is a turbine DC-3.
Two engine?
Twin engine, yep.
Yeah. See, I just knew that.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big airplane, fully loaded. It weighs about 29,000
Oh,
pounds.
my goodness.
And it'll carry about 25 to 28 passengers, probably.
Okay. You certified to fly that?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
I say that I'm certified to fly twin engine aircraft. This airplane in particular, I have to do some more training to fly it. But yes, I am certified to fly twin engine
Okay.
airplanes.
Okay. It'd be a good idea to do a little more practicing.
Yes.
Okay.
With
Okay.
somebody who knows what they're actually doing.
Now, do you ever think you someday be like a bush pilot in Alaska? Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure. Why
Why
not?
not? Land on the lake. Have you ever landed on a lake?
I have not. That's one of the things I want to do with an airplane.
Well, there you go. Yeah. See, I don't think I want to do that. Now, did you ever have to take any parachute lessons or anything as a
I never had to take any parachute lessons. I did have to wear a parachute once, and that's
okay.
because we were doing what they call
Because the engine
aerobatics.
stopped.
Engine didn't stop. We were turning the airplane upside down. And that's why we needed the parachute.
Was part of your training? You turn the plane upside
I was
down?
training to turn the plane upside down.
Okay, moment of confession. I was in high school, I think, maybe ninth grade. I didn't have a date. I rarely had a date. Anyway, I was at a carnival. Okay. And I was going on a Ferris wheel. Okay. And we're going up and down and up and down. Probably about the fifth or sixth up and down, I got right up at the top and I lost it. And I just bleh, all the way down through the air to the ground. And so I probably wouldn't be good as a Somebody wanted to know if I wanted to ride a helicopter, and I said, I don't think so. It could go, it could end up bad,
Yeah.
but you don't have any issues with that.
If it's a really bumpy day, after a while it does get to you, but you actually build a resistance to that over time.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm okay in an elevator.
Yeah. No, you'd probably be fine in a small plane.
Oh, maybe you could give me a ride.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Oh, I'm not committed yet, but I don't know. What would it cost for somebody to ride in an airplane with you?
It's actually pretty cheap. Legally, as a pilot, I can only charge half of my cost.
Oh.
And that is to keep people from being a private charter or however you might phrase that. So I could probably take you for flying for about an hour or so for around $100.
Okay. Now, that's not too bad. That's not too bad at all. Anyway, maybe one of these days, I'll call you. Don't call me.
All right. It's Boundary County is beautiful from the air.
Oh.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
When we were looking at moving up here about 13, 12, 13 years ago, we were doing a lot of stuff on YouTube looking at the area. We didn't know if where we were going to be, but it kind of was narrowing it down. And there was some guy in a, what's it called, an ultralight?
Yeah.
And he was flying around. It's like a, you're hanging from a kite
Right.
with a little pet engine flying around. And I've seen him or somebody like that occasionally around here. I haven't seen him this year. Anything about him?
Oh man, I'm not sure who that would have been. It most likely would have been maybe Colton Wanger,
I have no
possibly.
idea. No idea.
Local guy who
But he has
flew.
some really cool videos. I could
Yeah.
probably find him if I looked for him. And
Yeah.
yeah, and you could just see the area, and it was like really neat. Have you ever done anything like that?
I have actually, yeah. I equate it to strapping yourself into a lawn chair and then going flying.
Yes, I would see that.
That's exactly how it feels.
With an engine strapped to your back, maybe,
With
or
chainsaw engine on your back.
chainsaw
It's
engine.
a big two-stroke engine, is all it is.
See, we were playing tennis out at the county fairgrounds last summer. And this guy came in and kind of doing some dips and weaves and all in the big wide open green space next to the tennis courts. But I haven't seen him this year at all. So I don't know if he was on vacation or he decided to sell it and retire or something. I don't know. But it was like, wow, that'd be cool, but I'd be, no, not me. No. I got a couple friends that are going to on a missionary trip in Mongolia
Oh, wow.
in August. And we're in the last week of July here as we record this. So that's going to be about 2 or 3 more weeks, and they're going to do that. And then I got another friend that he was a missionary in Siberia, oh gosh, 20 years ago, maybe. He lived there for an extended period of time, him and his wife. So they got lots of weird stories.
How about
So is this kind of what you want to do your whole life?
if that's what God has for me, sure.
Okay. You're just open to where he leads you.
Exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great. So, what's your advice to young men and women out there who are searching for a purpose or a whatever?
Boy, I would say find yourself a good church and plug into that
Hang
and
around the right people.
hang around the right people and then just follow what God puts on your heart and follow where He leads. Sometimes it might not make sense, and sometimes it's you're like, okay, God, what is going on here? I don't understand it. This is terrible. And then a year or two later, you look back and it's like, okay,
Yeah.
can see where
Yeah.
God leading me
Yeah.
here. And yeah, and
Yeah.
just trust God, really. That's all I can say is. Yeah, faith in him.
And it's not easy.
No, it is not easy. I will say that much.
No. And Jesus never promised us easy times.
No.
It's going to be hard. But in the end, it's worth it.
Absolutely. And
Yeah.
even when you're in the middle of the trusting and just seeing God work, it just makes it worth it. It does.
Philip, I just wish you nothing but the best. What would be a website or a phone number that somebody could get a hold of you if they wanted to and ask questions and maybe help out?
Yeah, so my support page is on missionaryflights.org. If you go into the staff tab, there'll be a picture of me and a place where you can read a little bit about me and donate as well.
Okay.
That's a good place.
And they'll have your name there because this isn't a video. Nobody knows what you look like.
I'll have my name there.
Okay. And that'd be the best way for somebody to check you out.
Yep, I'm also on social media. You can find me on Instagram
Okay.
at PhilCanFly.
Phil can fly.
That's if you want to, yeah, shoot me a message, reach out that way, that's fine as well.
That sounds like a good idea. And feel free if you want to, you can also email me at northidahopodcast@gmail.com and say, hey, I'm really interested in that Philip guy you had on there. I'm going to share your phone number with him and then he can call you back or whatever you feel comfortable with. Go from there.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish you nothing but the best. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you, Ted. It's been a pleasure to be
I'm
here.
kind of jealous. Oh gosh, when I was a senior in high school, my history teacher, government teacher, he said, I think you guys, when you graduate from high school, you should just take a year off and go hitchhiking across the country. And this was in 1971. And I could have done it. 1970 is a different world. And nobody was worried about getting kidnapped or killed or whatever. And I thought about doing something crazy like that, but I didn't. Now, one of the guys that was on my podcast earlier today, in fact, that I just uploaded about school bus drivers, I don't know what he did. He lived in a school bus for a while. Yeah, he was a self-proclaimed hippie.
Wow.
And he lived a free lifestyle and did this and that. And then he found the Lord. And good things happened for him once he made that discovery and decided to make that decision and follow. So, guys, pray on it and do what the Lord may lead you to do. And Philip would be most grateful, and we'll just call it good. And I'd like an update maybe in another couple months and tell me what's going on and where you're at. And maybe someday I'll do a Zoom call in Florida with you and you can do maybe from your airplane.
There you go.
I
I'd
don't
love to
know.
do something like that. Hopefully it works out.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
Oh, I don't know. I'm very excited to go and do this work. There's things like the financial aspect that look very big and scary, honestly. I just keep trusting God and moving forward as I can.
Now, your shirt says Missionary Flights International,
Yep.
60th anniversary, established in 1964.
That's right.
Standing in the gap for missions.
That's it.
So there's a little risk involved,
Yep.
but
Yeah.
there's a lot to be gained.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks again, Philip.
Thank
Okay.
you.
All right. Good luck. And guys, I will see you again next week with another podcast. I got a number of guests are lined up, or maybe it'll just be me talking about whatever I want to talk about. Okay. All right. Thanks again, Philip. Bye bye, everybody.